All right. Thank you, Jared. Now I'm sort of thrown all off track. I knew what I was going to do. No, I don't. Okay. Last week we looked at the verses in Genesis and in Romans. And remember I said we're going to look at one Old Testament verse and one New Testament verse. And they're going to set the pattern for what we're doing all day today. Today's theme for the Fast Track Bible study tonight is Don't Give Up. Today the sermon title is Out of the Wilderness and Into the Battle. Because we go through that. That's what life is like. We go through a wilderness and then we got another battle to face. And then we get through that battle and then we wander around a little bit. And then guess what? Another battle comes along. So we're going to look at that, especially through the life of Joshua today. Last week we looked at Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. It says when Joseph said, "What you meant for evil against me, God meant it for good." So that the idea that God can work and we can trust God through all kinds of difficult things. Our passage in Romans was Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for those for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. This week our key passages are Joshua 1:5. "No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." I love that promise. I will never. And that's what Jesus promised us in the New Testament. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" So we are thankful and we want to remember those things. So now tonight we're going to be looking at that Fast Track Bible study. So I hope you'll be out for that. But let's talk about Joshua for a minute. I just want to give you a quick overview of the life of Joshua. Joshua was born in slavery in Egypt. He was there when Moses came and started leading the people out. He saw the great miracles that happened, the plagues that came. He saw the parting of the Red Sea. He saw the destruction of the Pharaoh's armies. He saw Moses come down from the mountain with the tablets. He was a part of all of that. So all of those things that we associate with Moses that we saw, a lot of those things, then Joshua was there right beside him. As a matter of fact, the first time we find Joshua in the Old Testament is in Exodus chapter 17, verse 9. In Exodus chapter 17, the Amalekites are coming out to fight against Israel. And here's what Moses says. Moses said to Joshua, he says, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites." So very early on, Joshua is given this responsibility and he's a captain under Moses. And he goes out to fight the Amalekites. He says, "Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." This is that, if you remember your Bible stories, you may remember this is that passage where it says that as long as Moses kept his staff up in the air and his arms up in the air, they won. But whenever he got tired and let them down, that the Israelites would lose. So eventually Aaron and one of the other priests came together and they held his arms up so they could win. So, but that's the battle. That's when Joshua was fighting. So Joshua was there right at the beginning. So I guess the first thing we need to know is if we're going to walk through this battle, if we're going to learn how not to quit, if we're going to learn what it means to go out of the wilderness and into battle, we need to fight the good fight. We need to fight the good fight. Joshua had to go out and go to battle. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life with which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." People always get in trouble when they think they can handle their lives without God. And we do that a lot, don't we? I think that's how we always end up in the wilderness. We go through a battle and we get done with that. And then we think, oh good, I can relax now. And we end up sort of wandering in the wilderness. You know, when I looked at this passage, here's what I saw. I was looking at the life of Joshua and I thought about our lives. Not just, you know, my life right now, but sort of the battles we go through in life. Let me just ask you, were any of you ever a teenager? Okay? Yeah. Did you remember being a teenager? Can you put yourself in that mindset for just a minute? Just think back on that. And think about how much you felt like you were in the wilderness at that point. Some of you are teenagers here today, and you may feel like you're in the wilderness trying to figure things out and not sure what's coming next, and all the changes are happening in your body and all the changes are happening around you. And, you know, you're looking forward to graduation, but on the other hand, once you graduate, then you're going to have to start making some decisions, and you're not sure what those decisions are. are. And, you know, there's always that next step to take. So here's Joshua. They've been wandering around. He's finally free from slavery. He's finally done with all that. He's walked through the Red Sea. And then the next thing that happens is an army comes to fight against him. You know what? Every stage of life has its battles. Every stage of life has its battles. And every stage of life has its wilderness wanderings. When we're trying to figure it out. Do you know why the children of Israel wandered in the desert? They wandered in the desert because they didn't trust God. Remember last week we talked about trusting God. Well, the reason they ended up wandering in the desert was because they didn't trust God. They had seen all that God had done. God had brought them through, but they ended up wandering in the desert because they didn't trust God. And we all go through those periods where, now I don't mean by don't trust God, I don't mean that they lost their, that you're going to lose your faith, you're going to lose your salvation, but sometimes we start trusting ourselves rather than trusting God, don't we? Sometimes we trust, you know, when you're a teenager, 18, 19 years old, and you're just getting started on it, and you run into rough patches, who do you call? Mama. Or daddy. You call mama for spiritual support, you call daddy for money. And please, I know that's a great exaggeration. Don't write me letters and hate me on that. I know. I understand. But the fact is that, you know, we call home. We look for people to help us. Well, folks, let's never forget when we're wandering in those wilderness, when we're fighting that good fight, that we have to depend on the Lord. Because let's face it, we can let each other down, but we can't quit. We can't quit. See, here's what happens with us. We get in the midst of these battles. We get to be a teenager and we think we've got it all figured out. Let me just ask you, raise your hand. If you were a teenager and when you were like 16 or 17 years old, you had all the answers. Thank you for being honest. How many of you have had teenage kids and you know that at some point in their lives, they knew all the answers? It's amazing. More of the parents agree, you know. Yeah. Listen, I know. I was 18 years old. I decided I needed to get out from under the thumb of my daddy. So I joined the Marine Corps. Now, I'm just saying. Now, I love the Marine Corps. I think it was good for me. But when you get back and think about it, okay, if you're having a problem with authority, going to one of the most authoritarian organizations in the world is probably not the best idea. Fight the good fight. You know, fighting the good fight of the faith means staying close to God. See, he says, fight the good fight of the faith. See, listen, there are plenty of fights you can pick out there, right? You all know people. I know people. It doesn't matter what they can do. If there's something going on, they're going to get in the middle of it. If there's not trouble happening, they're going to cause it, right? That's not the good fight of the faith. The good fight of the faith is saying, I'm going to stay close to God and I'm going to stick with Him and I'm going to trust Him through things. And the good fight of the faith a lot of times is happening within us, not out around us. It's saying, God, I'm going to trust You. It's saying, you know, like Joshua said, Joshua had a choice, right? Moses said, Joshua, go take some men and go fight the Amalekites. And Joshua could have said, well, no. But Joshua said, well, you know, Moses is close to God and I've seen what God can do. And if this is what Moses wants me to do and if this is what God's want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Well, who'd have thunk? You can ask God for direction in your life. Now, let me just back off a little bit and just share a couple things with you. How many ever go to the grocery store? Anybody ever go to the grocery store? Okay. I'm just going to say, I don't think most of the time you need to stop and ask God what kind of apples you should buy. Right? I don't think He cares whether you get Gala or Red Delicious. I don't think He cares whether you get green or red. I don't think He cares whether you get the big ones or the little ones. Not that much, you know. You understand? If you're getting them for me, Red Delicious, all you need to get. That's all you need to know. I like the others too. Fuji. I like Fuji. But you know what? What about when you're going out and you're going to spend a bunch of money on a car? Let me ask you, just simply, have you ever prayed about buying a car? You know, a lot of people don't. Or have you ever prayed about buying a house? Now, I don't mean praying, Lord, I want a house. A lot of people pray about that. But have you ever prayed, Lord, I want a house that's going to be used for You. I want a house that's going to fit what You want my life to be. Teenagers, know, there's a few of you here. Let me ask you a question. When you're looking at colleges, when you're looking at what happens after you graduate from high school, have you bothered to say, Lord, okay, I'm not sure. There's a lot of options out there. Where do you want me to go? And I'm not saying you need to go to Boyce Bible College or any place like that. I'm saying, are you letting God be a part of that decision-making process? Are you fighting that good fight by allowing Him to be involved in those decisions which are life-changing? Fight that good fight. Next thing is to stand firm. You got to fight the good fight, and then you got to stand firm. If you flip over in your Bibles, you might flip over to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, Moses is sending out the spies. Moses sent out the spies, and they've examined the land of Israel, and it's not the land of Israel at that point, it's Canaan. They've looked it all over, they've been examining it, they've been doing all this kind of stuff, and they come back. And they sent 12 spies out, but only two of them came back with a positive report. It says Numbers chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who explored the land, tore their clothes. See, what happened was the rest of the group, the rest of the camp decided that they were not going to go. They were going to go do what God wanted them to do. So Joshua and Caleb tore their clothes and they said to the entire assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. We can do this. God is with us. We can do what God has asked us to do. Man, that's standing firm. See, they believed in God and they weren't willing to back off of that faith. They were saying, here is where God wants us, and we need to do what God has called us to do. And because of this, Joshua and Caleb are the only two of the whole generation, including Moses, the whole generation that came out of Egypt, they're the only two that got to go into the promised land. Numbers chapter 32, verse 12. Not one except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, son of Nun, went into the promised land. For they followed the Lord wholeheartedly. They stood firm. Listen, we live in a democratic society and we talk about compromise a lot. Compromise can be a good thing. But when we compromise on convictions and when we compromise our character, then it's not compromise, then it's surrender. And we cannot surrender the things of God at any time in our lives. That's what it means to stand firm. It means that we will not surrender those things. Matthew 10, verse 22 says, Jesus says, all men will hate you because of me, but he who what? Stands firm to the end will be saved. You know, you get out of high school, you're trying to figure out your life, and then you sort of, you know, there's that time where you're sort of happy and carefree, at least a little bit. You know, you don't have a wife, you don't have a family, but then you got to figure that out. You know, being a teenager, trying to figure out things. How many of you want to go back and be a teenager, adults? How many of you want to go back and be a teenager again? That's funny. Every time I ask that question, I rarely have anybody say, yeah, they want to go back and be a teenager. Let me just, somebody give me an idea. You can respond to this. Why don't you want to go back and be a teenager again? Why not? Too many decisions, not enough experience. Too much, there's a lot of turmoil going on. Right. It's hard. Don't want to fight those battles again. Right. Yeah. See, sometimes, what's that? Afraid you make the wrong decisions. Yeah. Sometimes, I got to admit, sometimes I'd like to have like a 16-year-old body that never got tired and didn't hurt. But at the same time, I remember being 16. And, you know, if I could go back and be 16 and know some of the things I knew now, maybe I'd be all right. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is that those are tough times. There's a lot of wilderness wandering. Sometimes as adults, we forget what a wilderness that can be for young people because they're trying to figure things out. They're trying to put things together and it can be very confusing. Their friends are saying one thing, their teachers are saying another, the pastor's saying something else, and my parents are saying something else, and then there's my friends who don't know what they're doing, and they're just as lost as I am, and the ones I trust the most are the ones who don't know what's going on anyway. And it can be really tough. But then we come to that place where, you know, we get into the promised land, and we step into that, and we, you know, we're stepping into that promised land, and we think when we get to be adults that it's all going to be easy. How many of you, when you were 18, 16, 17, 18, you thought, man, I can't wait to get into this house. Once I can make my own decisions, it's going to be so much easier. Do you remember thinking that? And a couple of years later, do you remember thinking, boy, was that dumb? Right? And now listen, don't get me wrong. Some of you young people here, you're thinking, he's calling me dumb. I'm not calling you dumb. I'm saying that life is complicated and you go through these stages of life and you're fighting one right now. But here's the thing. You see, you go out of the wilderness and you go into the next battle. Because there's a wilderness of figuring out who you are, and that's what happens when you're a teenager. But then there's also the wilderness of figuring out how to live in this world, because there's a lot of hard decisions you're going to have to make, and there's a lot of hard consequences if you don't make the right ones. And you know what? Once you buy that big, beautiful car that you didn't ask God about it, whether you could afford it or not, and you're paying, do you know the average car payment now is like $400 a month? And did you know it's for 72 months? I don't know what kind of car it is. It's not one I'm buying, I hope. I mean, I really do. My goal is never to have to pay payments on a car again. But my cars are getting old and I ain't getting any more money in my bank account. But that's $400 a month for 72 months. That's a long, long time. 6 years. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of time. That's a lot of struggle. And you know what? The car company doesn't care that you got a birthday coming up. Or that Christmas is coming. And they don't care that you want to buy a new house. And they don't care that your kids need clothes or shoes on their feet, do they? And those bills come due, and it seems like life sort of rolls on. And suddenly you realize that if you want to keep your job, you better say nice things to the boss. Right? And if you want to get a new job, you better do good at the old job, so the old boss tells you good things when you go to the new job. You know, you got to learn these things, and sometimes it's hard, and we got to stand firm at what we know, and we got to live in character. You know, the Bible says that when we go to do a job, we should do it as to the Lord, right? Not as to men. Anybody here have a lousy boss? Don't raise your hands. But you know what? When you go to work, the Bible says you're not serving him, you're serving God. So go as a Christian and do your best, regardless of whether your boss knows what he's doing or not. Listen, men and women raising families, let's face it, there are new challenges. See, once you start figuring life out and start paying some of those bills, then you decide, you know, you find the right girl. Or you find the right guy. And you say, let's get married. And you think, see, and this is what we do to ourselves. We think, when we're teenagers, we think, if once I get out of school, everything will be all right. Don't we? Right? Once I get out on my own, then I'll be okay, just, you know, right? And then we think, well, you know, I'm out here living in this apartment, it's kind of lonely. If I get married, that'll fix everything. Yeah, right. Now, listen, I love my wife and I love being married, but I'm just saying, being married doesn't fix things. As a matter of fact, it complicates things, because then you got to take care of your wife. No, I'm not saying in a bad way. Please don't hear that. It just does, because then it's not just you, it's somebody else. And you got to care for them and love them, and you got to fit their schedule in, and you got to make that work, and it ain't easy. And anybody who tells you it is just selling you something. It takes hard work to make that work. See, you got to be strong and courageous. That's the next one. Joshua 1, verse 5 through 9. No one will be able to stand it. They're going into the promised land. This is the book of Joshua. They're getting ready to go in, and Joshua's being told, be strong and courageous. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Again, that's that key verse. We want to remember that. God is with us. Verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So there's some work involved there in knowing what God's word says. And then listen again, verse 9. Here have I not commanded you? And what did he command them? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Three times in those few verses, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Folks, it's easy to get stuck. And this is what I'm just going to tell you. I have noticed, I'm 54 years old, and I've noticed people get stuck. There are a lot of people out here who are 35 and 40 years old who are still living like they're teenagers and wanting other people to solve their problems. And God says, you know what? You've grown up. You're no longer supposed to be drinking the milk. You're supposed to be eating the meat. And the meat of life means you got to make your own decisions and you got to pay the price for them. And there are a lot of people who get stuck in those different stages of life. And I want you to understand, when this is saying be strong and courageous, it's not saying be strong in yourself. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, there are things in life that are going to hit you that you aren't strong enough, big enough, able enough to handle. And what we need is strength in the Lord. We need strength in our faith. We need to grow in that. We need to exercise our faith. You know, one of the things I've been doing while I've been, you know, losing weight is I've been trying to go work out. And I know that as I work out, I'm going to build some muscle. But here's some things I know I'm not going to ever do. Right? Doesn't matter how much muscle I get. I'm probably never going to bench press a ton. I'm never going to bench press 2,000 pounds. But you know what? I may occasionally need to move 2,000 pounds. So you know what I'll do? I'll call Tony. And Jared. And maybe Denny. And maybe I'll rent a backhoe. Because I can't do it in my own strength. So when God says be strong, He's telling us to be strong in Him, to build that relationship with Him. That's why in that passage where He's talking to Joshua, what does He say? He says, hey, listen, you gotta stay close to my commandments. You gotta live in obedience. You gotta read these things. You gotta imply them in your life. See, being strong, being courageous, now that is based on us. Being courageous means putting yourself at risk. It may mean going to Haiti. It may mean talking to your neighbor about Jesus. It may mean raising a baby. You think it doesn't take courage to raise a baby? And again, this is, you know, one of those teenager things. Listen, some of you young ladies, you know, I know a lot of young ladies, I can't wait till I have a baby. Talk to the people who've had babies. Babies are great when they're somebody else's. And listen, I love babies. I love kids. I love all that kind of stuff. But you that have babies, you know what I mean. Babies get colic and they can't tell you what's wrong with them. Babies hurt and they can't tell you what's wrong. They wake up in the middle of the night and you got to be up with them. And babies want to get fed every couple hours and you're like, can't they wait for dinner like I do? You know, it takes some courage to raise a family. And it takes courage. See, a lot of people, they want to raise the family without the strength that we need, without being strong in the Lord. You can turn on a lot of TV shows these days and you'll see this. And you might even check out in your own house and in your own family. And you probably know people to do this. You know, we have an electronic babysitter in our house right now, don't we? What's it called?
TV.
And what do? We sit the kids in front of the TV and then we try to tell ourselves, well, at least I put them in front of educational television. You know, like military intelligence, that oxymoron thing. I'm not sure television and educational. Can you learn things from TV? Sure. But you all know this, right? Kids need stimulation. They need interaction with people. They need to get out and run. They need to play. They need to cut things up with paper. They need to talk to you. They need to learn how to enunciate. They need to learn so many things that only people can teach them. And you know what people God put in their life to teach them? Oh, that would be the parents. That would be the grandparents. That would be the church family. That would be all of us. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to do it the right way. Because there's a whole world out there that will tell you that if we do it as Christ says to do it, that we're doing it the wrong way. Let me just, and some of you may have struggled with this. Some of you may be struggling with this right now. I don't know. There's going to come a time, I just want you to know, remember we talked about teenagers and kids trying to figure out who they are? There's going to come a time when a teenager is going to look at you and going to say, I don't want to go to church on Sunday. and there's a little voice that comes to you from the world saying, well, children have to learn to make their own decisions. Yeah, they do. But I get to choose whether kids living in my house go to church or not.
Amen.
You know what? I hope you make your kids brush their teeth, right? Now, please don't hear me saying that brushing your teeth is like going to church. It's not. It's a different thing. But there's a principle at work there. We make our kids do what we know to be good for them. Now, don't get me wrong. Going to church can be bad for them if we don't do the things we ought to do in church. If we're not teaching them from the Bible, if we're not encouraging them, if we don't have good teachers and stuff like that. Which, again, that leads to courage on your part because you got to be willing to step up. You got to be willing to say, hey, listen, I need to, my care is not just my kids, but there are other kids in the church and they need to know God's word. And maybe I don't know enough of it, but maybe I can stay a week ahead of a second grader. And maybe I could teach a second grade Sunday school class. Folks, be strong and courageous, not in your own strength, but in God's strength. And then when God asks you to do something, have the courage to step forward. Here, Joshua and the people of Israel are standing on the edge of the promised land. And Joshua's being told, be strong and courageous. Listen to what I tell you. And then the courage is taking that first step across the line. Out of the wilderness. And into the next battle. Because, you know what? They went into the promised land and what did they start doing? They started having to fight again. Be strong and courageous. Listen. God continues to call. And I really do believe this. And I know this is unpopular in these days. But I figured out a long time ago that God didn't call me to be popular according to lights of the times I live in. God called me to be faithful to the Word of God. And here's what I believe the Word of God says. God continues to call men in particular to be men of courage and strength for their families and for their communities and for their churches. One of the things I've been talking a little bit with the deacons and is about having a men's retreat at some time this year. Just a weekend where we say, okay, we're going to talk to men about what it means to be a biblical man. What it means to stand up for your family in a world that often won't stand up for it. What it means to live up to your responsibilities and what your responsibilities really are. Now, don't get me wrong. I know many of you know these things. But I know that our world is trying to strip them away from us. One of the other things, just so you ladies don't feel left out, one of the other things we're looking at is doing a marriage retreat so that men and women can learn what biblical marriage is. We're looking at doing some of those things. So please be praying about those things for us so that as we move forward, we start providing some of the things that we need so that we can be strong in the Lord and courageous in our stand for Him. See, each stage of life, there's a new challenge. You know what's going to happen? Your kids are going to grow up and then they're going to move out. And then you're a man and you've raised your kids and you feel like you've done good. And then all of a sudden you got what they used to call the empty nest. Do you remember the empty nest? You know what? They're having problems now. There's this thing called delayed adolescence. Do y'all know what delayed, have you heard of this term, delayed adolescence? That means the kids never leave. Now, I just want to say, that's what our society is doing to us. We're not making people strong in the Lord. We're not making them courageous to face the challenges of the day. We're not making them understand what it is to be sufficient to things. They've had that delayed adolescence. So a lot of times people are maybe even going off to college, but then coming back home and living with mom and dad until they're 30 or 32 or 35. Now, folks, in a lot of cases, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's an issue there where we haven't somehow prepared them to meet the challenges of the world. And so we need to meet the next challenge. For women at that point, a lot of women get their lives so wrapped up in their kids that when the kids leave the house, they don't even have a relationship with their husband anymore. Husbands, what they tend to do once the kids are gone and once you don't have, you know, baseball practice and once you're not going to all the games and all that kind of stuff, then they come. The women miss the kids and the guys miss the work. And so guys become workaholics and again, the family drifts apart. Have you noticed a lot of people fall apart in the first few years of marriage or they fall apart about 15 or 20 years later when the kids get old enough? Because they've forgotten. Just in case you're wondering, the most important relationship in any marriage is the husband and wife. In any family, it's the husband and wife relationship. If that one works, then the ones with the kids will work out a lot better. And it's hard for us to keep that balance. Again, be strong and courageous. Build your life according to biblical standards. And then finally, be ready to go home. In Joshua 24, verse 29, it says, "After these things, Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. All God's saints go home. For the saints, death is not a defeat, it is a promotion. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring to Jesus with Jesus those who have fallen asleep." We're all going to face life's final test, and that's going to be when... There's a John Wayne movie. You ever seen the movie McClintock? One of my favorite movies. But there's a scene in that movie where they're talking, and one of the guys says... He sort of gave over running of his ranch to his son when the doc gave me the long face. You know what? Listen, for just about all of us, the doc's at one point or another going to give you the long face. And you're going to have to face that mortality. And that's tough. But I want you to know what Joshua did. Also in Joshua 24, verse just a few verses before, he's getting ready to die, and this is what he does. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. He says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." And then we're all familiar with this last part. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." We sometimes forget that when Joshua says this, he's on his deathbed. And he says that no matter what may come, whether I live or die, we will serve the Lord. See, there's always another battle to face. Whether it's the battle of figuring out who you are as a teenager, or the battle of figuring out what to do with your life once you get a little older, or whether the battle of putting a family together and making that work, or what to do when the family goes away and you're stuck with just you and your wife again, and you got to figure out how that works without the kids in your life every moment of the day. Or 20 years after that, when your body's getting a little older and a little tireder, and you're trying to figure out how Medicare and Medicaid work, and you're trying to figure out how all this stuff is going to work and where you're going to live when the money runs out. There's always another battle to face. But there's a promise from God that we don't face that last battle alone. Now listen. I know today that some of you are facing some battles. I know today that in this church some people have gotten bad news this week. And you're hurting. I know that in this congregation, just about everybody here has been touched by heartache and sadness. And that there are battles that you have to fight. And that right now you may be asking yourself, am I strong enough and courageous enough to trust God? So I want you all to do something, if you would. And this is just one of those real simple things. I want everybody to bow your heads with me. I want everybody to bow your heads. And if you would, with every head bowed and with every eye closed, if you would do me a favor. If you're facing one of those challenges, if you're facing one of those battles right now, would you just raise your hand so we can pray for you? God bless you. Thank you. Keep them up for a minute, because there's a lot of people raising their hands. Please, with head bowed and eyes closed. God bless you so much. All right, you can put your hands down. Now let me pray for you, and I wouldn't by any means embarrass you. I'm not going to name any names, but there were a lot of hands raised through this congregation. We're starting a new year. And let's pray that we can start it with strength in the Lord and with courage. Let me pray for you, especially for those who raised your hands. Father, I don't know the battles and struggles that some of these folks are facing. But Lord, I know simply because they raised their hand that they're looking to You for their strength, For Lord, I have no strength to offer. I only come as a servant and I pray on their behalf. And Lord, I know that even now they're praying that, Lord, you would help them through the struggle. And Lord, we have our desires and our hearts and all of that wrapped up in what we want to see happen. But Lord, sometimes what we want to see and what actually happens are two different things. And Lord, what you've reminded us over and over again is that we can trust you no matter what. And Lord, I pray that you would pour out that kind of strength on this congregation, especially on those people who raise their hands who are struggling with battles right now. That, Lord, you would give them a firm foundation in your word that, Lord, even as they go through the week over the next week or two, that some person would speak to them a word from your word, that they would open the Bible and a verse would jump out to them and help them to draw close to you, that they would know your strength. And Father, give them the courage to take each step with you. And Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to do something different again. Would you stand with me, please? I know the standing part's not very different. And again, I wouldn't embarrass anybody for the life of me. That's not my goal. But I think there are times, and I think this sermon sort of lends itself to that, where I want to ask you, I want to encourage you, to allow our church, and I'm going to ask, I didn't talk to the deacons about this, but I want to ask the deacons in particular to help me with this and the staff. I'm going to let, we're going to sing a little bit here in a minute, okay? But if you raised your hand, and even if you didn't, if there's a battle you're going through and you really want somebody to pray for you, I'm just going to ask you to come up front, and you don't have to share that battle with us. But I'm just going to ask you to come up front and let's kneel down at the altar and allow us to lay our hands upon you and just pray for you. Because there's something powerful in bowing before God and praying with other believers. Something happens in that moment when we know that where two or three are gathered, God is there among us. So, Jared, what are we going to sing?
God will take care of
you. Okay? So if there's a battle you're fighting, if there's something you want, please come and let us, and some of our deacons, if you come, and again, if you just kneel down at the altar, we'll pray together. You come as we sing.